Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. Thanks for joining us this morning. I have a switchboard full this morning. I'm so excited to see that. I'm going to invite in Shelley, and I'm going to invite in Monica. And I believe
Hello.
This is Danny. Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody?
Well, good morning, Renee. Good morning, all.
Good
How's
morning.
Everybody?
Here.
Thank you. Same to you, Dan. Same to you. Well, I decided to call you in before I did my little talk this morning so that we could all join in. You know, the beginning of a new year, we all make lots of promises to ourselves and to others. And, of course, one of the most famous ones is that you're going to get healthier and happier. So I invited Monica. Monica is related to me by marriage. She married my cousin. He and I are a day apart, and we pretty much grew up together. And they live in North Carolina, and they have they live up on top of a big hill. They have a garden. They have some farm animals, and they have a nice life up there. It's a little hard to get to this time of year, isn't it, Monica?
Yes, but the roads are clear, so we're good. It's very cold, but it's good.
That's good. That's good. So I've been watching Monica on Facebook lately, and she's addressed several of the problems that we've all talked about on the show. Many times we've talked about the inability to get a good night's sleep. We've talked about sleep apnea. We talk a lot about anxiety and the medical remedies to cure both of these things are often, for one thing, very addictive. For another thing, don't have any long-term benefits because your body becomes accustomed to them and they no longer work. So when I was reading some of the things that Monica has put together, and, of course, she tests them on she and her husband, and I'm assuming other family members, and they've had some really good luck with some of the things that she's put together. So I asked her to share some of those with us today. So I'm going to kind of give you the floor, Monica, so that you can, you can explain to us how you came about doing things like this and the benefits that you've gotten from being able to understand the different oils and tinctures and all of the above. She says, I don't want to sound like I'm making magic potions and things like that and make people think I'm crazy. And I said, well, I don't know. I'm looking forward to some magic potions myself. So explain some of it to us, will you, Monica?
Let's see. My biggest problem for many years was being an insomniac. I would stay up for hours and hours when everybody else in the house was sleeping, reading, doing all kinds of crafts. And it started to wear me down, and I started doing research on it on the computer, and found out that it's definitely not normal. I thought I was superhuman. I could stay up for a day and a half at a time before I crashed. So what I did was I started looking at herbs and found out that there were several herbs that would calm your anxiety, stress, that sort of thing. So I put together some of the herbs. I didn't do them all. I put together some of the herbs in a tincture, and I call it my sweet dreams tincture. Basically, it's a valerian root, hops flower, passion flower, and lemon balm. And I put that in a menstruum of 80 proof vodka, organic vodka. Okay? And I did that. You have to steep it in the vodka in a dark cupboard for 6 weeks. I did it, and I took I put it in a dropper bottle, a little 2-ounce dropper bottle, and I took 2 dropperfuls in a shot glass, and I thought that it would make me tired and I would fall asleep. It didn't, but it did calm. I mean, it really calmed me down. So when I laid down to bed that night, still late, usually when I went to sleep, I would toss and turn, think about the whole day, think about what happened 20 years ago. Something that happens, you know, your cortisol is raising at that point, and you can't sleep. So what normally happened is you would get up and stay up another couple of hours and then try and go back to sleep. Well, when I went to bed that first night after taking my tincture, I laid there for a second, looked at the ceiling, turned over, I went to sleep immediately, and I could not believe it. When I woke up the next morning, didn't wake up at all that night, it was a deep, restful sleep, like I had taken sleeping pills or something. So I did that every night about an hour before I would want to go to sleep for about, I don't know, a week and a half, 2 weeks. And then for some reason I forgot to do it one night. And same thing happened. I fell asleep immediately. So I stopped taking it. And it still worked every night. It somehow resets your circadian rhythm, whatever it is, and it retrains your mind how to go to sleep. So I have about a gallon of that tincture in my cabinet right now, but I don't hardly ever take it. Maybe once a month I take it now if I'm feeling a little stressful. But that's it. It's fantastic.
And how is it working on other
people? Oh, same thing. Exactly the same thing. The valerian root is the one that actually makes you go to sleep. And you could even take this during the day if you don't want to go to sleep, because it just calms and relaxes you. If you're under high stress, if, you know, whatever, it just calms you so nicely without making you tired. Those other three ingredients, the hops flower, passion flower, lemon balm, those are very well known to just calm and relax. The valerian is the one that makes you go to sleep, or sleep deeply. It doesn't actually make you sleep. It helps you to sleep deeply. So that's one of the things I did.
One of the ingredients is hops, like what's in beer, like H-O-P-S. Did you know that you probably do, that's probably why you chose it, that hops is actually a muscle relaxer. That's why when people drink beer, they generally get very relaxed, you know, unless they get so drunk that they become belligerent and all that. But that's why they kind of lose their motor skills and things like that. The difference between beer and other types of alcoholic beverages is that hops is actually a muscle relaxer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
Monica, have you had anybody? We also talk a lot about addictions and alcoholism and all of that kind of stuff. Now, if somebody was an alcoholic and they quit drinking, mm-hmm. they wouldn't use this elixir.
Why wouldn't they?
Well, because it's alcoholic. Is it
now? Yes, but it has. I mean, two dropperfuls is like less than an eighth of a teaspoon of alcohol, and you mix it in water, so there is no alcohol taste. Besides that, if you were to open the bottle or take your dropperfuls out, put it into a shot glass or a small glass, whatever, and leave it out in the air, the alcohol will evaporize out. So there is no alcohol.
Now, when I've gone to, like, Whole Foods and stores like that, I've noticed that a lot of the tinctures, they have alcohol-free versions of now. Some of the, because I used to get golden seal root, or I still do sometimes, because I use that as an antibiotic instead of other remedies. But I don't like the versions that have alcohol in it because I'm very intolerant to it. And so now they have alcohol-free versions. Have you ever tried to make an alcohol-free version? Because I understand Rainey's concern with this. I had a friend of mine who was an alcoholic that used to drink perfume. If she ran out of, this is how desperate she was, this is how bad of an alcoholic she was, she would actually drink perfume when she ran out of, if she had no alcohol in the house. And I could see somebody who was that desperate abusing something like this without realizing, you know, because if you were to take too much of this, I could imagine it could have some impact on the body.
Well, it would. Valerian. Go ahead.
Well, what do you think it's going to have? Do you think it's possibly going to replace somebody's craving for more
addiction.
alcohol or addiction?
Yes, I suppose it could if they were. If they would reduce themselves to drinking a bottle of perfume or a bottle of NyQuil or something like that, then, yes, I guess they could abuse this. And that's why you can make this tincture with glycerin.
I've seen that.
Okay. And you can make it. It's not as strong. Because here's the other thing about this tincture and why tinctures made with alcohol work so much better. They bypass your stomach and go straight to your liver, and then it's distributed through your bloodstream. That's why I chose to make it with the organic vodka, because well, it's the strongest way to make it. But it can be made with glycerin. It also can be made with Bragg's apple cider vinegar.
Oh, yeah, that would be phenomenal.
Pardon me?
Yeah, I know a lot of uses for Bragg's apple cider vinegar.
Yes, it could be done with either one of those three, and if in case anybody wants to make it, it's equal parts of all four of those herbs. And it works. The other thing that is very important to do if you want to talk about alcoholics, drug-addicted people, anybody that's on a pharmaceutical, are magnesium deficient. And they exhibit all of those symptoms of being magnesium deficient. That's the other huge thing I've done for my sleep, anxiety, stress, heart problems, very big. And I've really studied and researched magnesium a lot. And if alcoholics, drug-addicted people would up their magnesium, that would certainly help them from having heart problems, cirrhosis of the liver, all kinds of things.
Well, you know, when we were at the center, I think Renee remembers this because I think you used a whole bottle of it, Renee. They had sold a product called MagnaSoothe, which was a spray. It was a liquid form of magnesium that you actually sprayed on your skin. Right, it was magnesium oil. And it had a whole litany of health issues that it would deal with because, like you just said, magnesium deficiency is actually at the root for so many symptoms and so many disorders.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes just getting that, and with our skin being our biggest organ, you can put it at the site of pain or some sort of a symptom, and you will actually draw it into the body, and it gets into the bloodstream.
It does. It absolutely does. I make my own magnesium oil also. So it's a lot.
What do you use
less
that for, honey? Do you use that
Pardon
for
me?
Body work thing?
Yes. Yes, you spray it on the bottom of your feet because there are so many nerve receptors on the bottom of your feet. And you rub it into your feet and you feel it immediately. It's just fantastic. I take three forms of magnesium. I take magnesium glycinate, which I encapsulate myself. I buy the powder in bulk. I encapsulate that myself. I also take magnesium citrate, which actually gets very little magnesium into you, but one of the huge symptoms of magnesium deficiency is constipation. I am chronically constipated. So it helps that, and that's probably the worst thing to feel. Anybody who is on a pharmaceutical is also going to be very constipated. So one way to combat that is to take the magnesium citrate. The glycinate I take is a chelated form, and that gets more of it into your system than anything. And I take about 1,200 milligrams a day.
Wow.
And that relieves heart palpitations, feet cramps, leg cramps, pain in your shoulder. I have a sister-in-law that has a frozen shoulder, and it's really helped her. Headaches, migraines. It does so much. Depression, fatigue, panic attacks. It does a lot.
And how do you explain how you apply that for panic attacks and things like that? Explain how you use it.
Well, I encapsulate it because it's less expensive that way. I bought a capsule maker, and I put it in capsules. And I take about 700 milligrams in the morning and 700 milligrams at night. It also relaxes you so that you don't get leg cramps or foot cramps while you're sleeping. Restless leg works on that. Plus, I also use the magnesium oil as the spray, which is very easy to make, very inexpensive. And spray that on my body, on my feet. You could also do Epsom salts. That gets
mm-hmm.
magnesium into your body. You know, taking a bath in that, a cup of Epsom salts, a cup of baking soda to pull out the toxins
mm-hmm.
in your body really helps with that.
Yeah, well, we've always suggested to people that they do things like that, as well as castor oil rubs with hot packs. Castor oil
mm-hmm.
Will go through your tissue and actually soften up things that are going on inside of your body, tight muscles, old scar tissue. I would have women with tremendous breast tumors that didn't want to do surgery, and we would actually do wheatgrass packs, and we would do castor oil packs. I never had any old bras back in those days because I would bring my old bras in, and if a lady had a very large breast tumor, we would do warm packs with castor oil and help soften up the tumor, because when you get on an all-raw diet and give up sugar and caffeine and all those things that we all become so addicted to, the tumor actually starts breaking down. And I will tell you, I witnessed many, many, many expulsions of tumors. The very first time I watched it, it came out like a giant black egg.
Yep.
Like a black egg. And I've also seen it be much worse than that. But the castor oil, the magnesium is also one of the preparations that we did with my grandson. When he started healing, when his burn started healing, he itched terrible, and ached. The topical nerves in his body were like constantly, he'd feel like
firing.
He had things. Yeah, he felt like he had things crawling on him. So we'd rub him, we'd scratch, even scratch some of the places that you swear to God he wouldn't want any nails on, and he did. And the magnesium, we'd get massages for him, full body massages with the magnesium oil, the natural magnesium oil, and he still has horrific scars, don't get me wrong, but his skin, if you touch his skin, it's soft and very pliable. And I believe that the biggest reason for that was all those magnesium massages. And he also did a lot of swimming in the mineral pool, which is sea salt. Heavy, well, 2,000 pounds of sea salt are in the mineral pool, and the mineral pool is kept at like 98 to 100 degrees. So all of those things helped him. So I also am a very, very big believer in magnesium, and I enjoy the recipe that you gave us for helping people relax, but I do have concerns about the alcohol, because you never met our Uncle Raymond, Monica, but
no.
he was an alcoholic, and he would go for months at a time without drinking anything. But then when he fell off the wagon, it was with a big crash. And I've known him to drink Aquavelva after putting it through a cheesecloth with Kool-Aid. So. It is what it is, and the addiction is tremendous. So I would be worried about that, even though in your mind, because you're not an alcoholic, you realize that it's really nothing, and probably if we were to do something where it sat out and let the alcohol be dispersed through osmosis or whatever would happen, but it would still be that head thing would still be going on, don't you think, Shelley?
And unfortunately, that's the case. And maybe that's why so many of these alcohol-free tinctures are available now, because a decade ago when I started with that type of therapy, I don't know that I ever saw any alcohol-free versions. And in the last few years, there's three different companies now that have alcohol-free versions of their tinctures. And they're just as effective. I opt to get the alcohol-free version because of some of my candida issues and things like that, and I just didn't want to mess with it because anything that's in an alcohol base, I actually am very overly sensitive to the taste of alcohol in tinctures. I just don't like it. And the other versions, although it's still strong from the herb, golden seal root is terribly bitter, I'm actually okay with the taste of it. Without that alcohol aftertaste. So for me, it's just a preference, even though I'm not an alcoholic, for me, it's just a preference to get the alcohol-free versions. But what I love about this type of medicine and the conversation we're having today is that when you study, use of herb therapy, Chinese medicine, things like this, natural remedies and things like that, it's amazing how completely the body can heal itself, and how, situations that you've been dealing with for a lifetime, like with me. Rini, that my left shoulder was frozen for 2.5 years. I had no use of my left arm. And I was told by the doctors that I needed shoulder replacement surgery, that I needed cortisone therapy. They wanted to give me shots because I was in such terrible pain for 2.5 years. I had 8 bone spurs, and the doctors told me that bone spurs won't go away, that the only way to get rid of them is through surgery. And I didn't do any of it. I had known 2 people who did the surgery, and their shoulder was never okay after the surgery. They had all kinds of complications. So I decided just to stay with the pain I was already familiar with, and I did like Monica. I started reading books, educated myself, and I used also topical. That's when I found out about castor oil. I used castor oil packs. I started taking MSM and bromelain. I also took magnesium. And the combination of the different minerals and the castor oil pack, within 6 months I had full use of my arm, and I have forever. The bone spurs are gone. If you look at my x-rays, it looks like they were done in reverse order because the bone spurs are gone. With the use of the castor oil, my body actually dissolved the bone spurs over a six-month period of time.
Can I tell you why that happened?
I love why.
Excuse me. The reason why that happened is because calcium, which is in your body, your bones, they moved into your muscles, into the soft tissue. When you are magnesium deficient, calcium takes over. And when calcium takes over, you have pain, inflammation, bone spurs, all kinds of problems happen. So that's why your body absolutely needs the magnesium to move the calcium out of your cells and out of your soft tissue.
That's
fascinating. Then you won't have those pains and inflammations. It's
based on what you just said, what about people that have like bunions on their feet, which is where the knuckle joints on the big toe just becomes,
yes,
a lot of calcium? What if you used magnesium oil on a bunion? Would that help that type of a situation?
Absolutely. It will get rid of any type of calcium deposits in your bones, your bunions, everything.
Wow.
It's just amazing how it works. It's, and a lot of people, because their doctors have not studied magnesium in medical school, but they do know about calcium. They tell people take calcium supplements, especially if you are prone to osteoporosis. No, that is the wrong thing to do. Nobody should take any calcium supplements. Magnesium is what you need to take to keep from getting osteoporosis, the humpback, you know, the dowager hump, that sort of thing.
Well, because
absolutely
people think that osteoporosis is caused from a calcium deficiency, and it's actually not. It's caused from leaching of calcium from our bones, which make them brittle, which is caused by having too much animal protein. This is something I've been studying for over a decade. That's what happens. A lot of doctors say, well, you have to get more calcium in your diet, and actually that's not what cures osteoporosis. You need to stop leaching the calcium from the bones, not replacing it through dietary means. So that makes a lot of sense, what you just said.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, magnesium is 80% of the people in our country are magnesium deficient, and they don't know it. This restless leg that all of a sudden came up in the last few years. My mother-in-law had restless leg. So many things. It's magnesium is what is needed. It's just not, even if you eat organic vegetables, it's not in the soil. The soil is just not putting enough minerals into your foods anymore.
No, you made me think of a question, Monica.
This tincture that you talk about, something that you... That you just make for yourself as a private individual, or do you actually have some sort of a therapy center where you provide this for other people?
Well, lately I've just been giving it away, actually, because I want people, there's so many people who have such a hard time sleeping because of their cortisol starts raising at nighttime when their melatonin should take over, but it isn't. So I've been giving it away. Hopefully someday I plan on selling it. That would be wonderful. But, yeah, that's a hopefully a someday thing, but it does work. It's just amazing. I do several other tinctures, a vitamin and mineral tincture. I do desiccated liver where I dehydrate liver because I don't like it. I just can't eat it. I don't care what I do. I just can't eat it. So I make my own liver pills, and that provides a lot of energy, a lot of good energy, lots of B12 in there, iron.
Hippocrates, we made a, we called it Live A Lot, and I would often suggest that our guests that came in that had either Hep C or any other kind of hepatitis, but in particular Hep C, or had any kind of a drinking problem, or maybe they had even been clean and sober.
Cirrhosis of the liver also.
Huh?
If they also have cirrhosis of the liver.
Well, that would usually be because they were, you know, they spent a lifetime drinking and they were finally clean and sober, but they had all these other side effects. And then, of course, we did the liver flush, which was a big thing at the Institute, teaching people about cleansing their liver and then having, several colonics after doing a liver flush is very beneficial because that cleans out all the little nooks and crannies in your liver and makes your liver a better filter, which increases the strength of your kidneys and everything else. So there's a lot of good things like that that you can do. And if somebody came to us with severe cirrhosis or even worse, liver cancer, we would do a lot of the castor oil packs with that as well. And if they did it the way I had them do it, or if I sent Enid to their room at night to have them do the massage, a liver massage with the castor oil and a hot, wet towel so that it steeped even. The next day, if they did a colonic, they would release these like big, almost like colorful beads that would come out of their liver. It's amazing. It's amazing some of the things you can do. So, but I have a couple questions.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
For you. What about the headaches that a few years ago when I left the Institute, I was as close to being in a state of depression as I've ever been in my whole life. And sleep was... it seemed like I wanted to sleep all the time, but I wouldn't because it would be restless sleep. So I was taking, I tried some natural stuff. Nothing did anything. I even tried a glass of red wine at night to see if it would relax me. Nothing worked. So I started taking Tylenol PM, and I'm not a big pill taker. So it worked really quickly, and I got some really, really heavy sleep, which is what I thought I needed. I know better now, but at that point in time, that seemed to be all I could think about was getting a real deep sleep. But the next day when I would try to get up, I mean, I'm an early riser my whole life, and I was sleeping until like 8 o'clock in the morning, and when I got up, I felt like hell. I didn't feel like I had a hangover. I just felt like... was like, I don't know. I use the word logie. My kids make fun of me. They think I made that word up. Maybe I did, but that's how I felt. I felt like my head was heavier than the rest of my body. I felt like I just couldn't get, you know, the feathers out of my head. And I'm wondering what the daytime effects are to your sleep remedy. Even say I used it with the alcohol in it. What are the effects at the next day? Are there any?
None. It's a restful sleep. You wake up and you're ready to go. It is just amazing, amazing, this stuff. And like I said, I only took it for a couple of weeks because I thought, okay, sleep remedy, like Tylenol PM, which I have taken in the past, like even Somanex or any of those, you got to take them every night in order to go to sleep. That's not the case. I only took it for a couple of weeks, and I sleep. And this, let's see, this has been about 8 months, and I still go to sleep like a normal person, you know. So I hardly ever take it now, and it still works. I still fall asleep immediately. And
so it
wake
really
up
did.
And feel fine.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me?
Mm-hmm. So it really did change your sleep pattern. So,
yes.
So I think what you're saying, and I think this is great news, that if you take some of this for a while and get yourself into a new pattern, you're actually redesigning with this elixir, tincture, whatever it is you call it, your sleep pattern.
Absolutely.
You know that there are people that commit suicide because they can't sleep.
I know. And it's such an easy fix.
And a lot of the prescription drugs that are out there that are sleep aids, that's actually one of the potential side effects is suicidal tendencies, because they mess so much with the natural chemistry of the body. How many antidepressants have suicidal tendencies as a side effect? How many sleeping aids have really horrific side effects, like you may get muscle movements, unnatural muscle movements, or you may get suicidal thoughts or impulsive thoughts or something as a result of taking this particular sleep remedy. You know, so it's whenever you go to anything that's homeopathic or naturopathic, such as tinctures or homeopathic pellets, you're allowing the body to basically adjust itself. Like you said, it resets your normal sleep patterns, and it allows the body to start performing properly over time instead of taking a pharmaceutical drug, which basically tries to force the body to do something that you want it to do, but since it's forcing it, it's not allowing the body to correct itself. You're not going to the cause. You're not correcting the cause, where naturopathic and homeopathic remedies actually go to the root cause and allow the body to make the appropriate adjustments so that symptom goes away, whether it be insomnia or something else.
Absolutely. That's the way it's worked on me and several people that I've given it to try it out.
You know, but the whole thing is that people get so impatient because a pharmaceutical drug will usually work. Like, they take it, 20 minutes later, they've gotten some relief. The problem is, because it's forcing the body, that's where the side effects come up. So over a period of time, that symptom will come back. You'll need to adjust the drug, or you'll need to take other drugs to deal with the side effect of that one. So it appeared to fix the problem, but it actually created other problems. Once I had decided I wasn't going to take pharmaceutical drugs anymore, you don't know my story. I'm not going to go into it right now. But I was desperately ill for about 30 years. And when I swore off prescription medication, I mean, I swore off of it completely. And I had, I used to run an animal rescue out of my house, and I had gotten between two of the dogs that were arguing with each other, and the one turned around to snap at the other, and my hand was there, and he bit my hand through. His tooth went completely through my hand. And it was a pretty catastrophic injury. And I was in terrible pain for several days, but I had already researched all this, so I didn't take any antibiotics. I didn't take any painkillers. I researched on what to do to heal my hand. I called my naturopath, and he put me on something called Lidum Pasteur, which is a pellet that I put under the tongue. And what Lidum is, it's specifically for animal bites and specifically for puncture wounds. And but it wasn't immediate. It wasn't like taking a Tylenol 3 that had, you know, codeine in it or something. So it took about 2 days to really take the edge off the pain. But once it did, then it was manageable. The pain was completely manageable. So I had to stick it out for about 48 hours in really quite a lot of pain. But I was trying to prove something to myself. And once there was enough of the lidium in my system to minimize the pain, I was fine from there forward. And my hand was about an inch and a half swollen for 6 weeks, but when it healed completely. I got full use of the hand back, didn't have any infection, not one day of infection, and when the hand healed, it healed completely, and I didn't have any of the side effects from painkillers or antibiotics.
Well, I think one of the things that we haven't said, too, is the fact that a lot of your normal medicinal means our bodies build an immunity towards. And you know, then you just need more and more and more, or you need to change it. And I believe that's one of our biggest problems, and of course that's one of the things that leads to much of our heavy addiction. You go in search of killing the pain or you know, reevaluating how you feel about yourself on a daily basis. So it becomes your addiction. So can either of you speak to the value of using something that's natural instead of man-made, the chemical things that we have out there? Can either one of you address the fact that if you're using something that grows from the earth, that is natural, in its natural state, I mean, other than mixing it with something else, but in its natural state, in contrast to something that is developed in a chemistry lab? Can either one of you address that? Would you like to try that first, Monica?
Sure. As far as everybody seems to have the flu now, and
mm-hmm.
so many people are taking the flu vaccine, which is, in my opinion, a huge mistake because it's pretty much filled with poison. Formaldehyde, thimerosal causes all kinds of problems. But once they decide not to take the flu vaccine and they do get the flu, then they want to take Tamiflu, another huge problem. You
mm-hmm.
don't want to take that because, again, it's full of all kinds of poisons and toxins. So about 2 years ago, I found a recipe on the Internet, and I call it fire cider. And this is something that's easy to do, another recipe, if you will. And it's equal amounts of ginger, horseradish, onions, garlic, tons of garlic, and tons of the hottest peppers you can find. And that's steeped into Bragg's apple cider vinegar for 6 weeks. Then you strain it out in 6 weeks, and you drink the liquid. Now, you can only handle about a half an ounce, quarter ounce, very small amount, and mix it with a little water. This is what has kept my husband and I from catching a cold or the flu.
And what is
anytime.
What do you call that? What do you call that?
Pardon me?
What do you call that?
Fire cider, because it tastes like fire.
Wow, yeah, I guess so. I love the ingredients.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but that's
Anna
my
Maria.
Natural ingredients. All of it's organic, and we have not been sick one time in the last 2 years because anytime you feel the slightest bit off, you have a sniffle, you're starting to get that scratchy throat, you take
yeah.
a shot of the fire cider, gone. You will not get sick. You will absolutely not get sick.
Ginger has amazing immune boosting properties, and everything else you said on there also is immune boosting. There's so many articles on garlic and stuff. So that really looks like a remarkable recipe.
It is. I mean, garlic is a natural antibiotic. You have earache, ear infection. Take a clove of garlic and tape it right over your ear. That ear infection is going to go away. Earaches, toothache. There's so many things you could do with garlic that
I've
done.
What's funny is that you're talking about this particular remedy, and I did something out of desperation. This is going back maybe, about 7-8 years ago. This is before I really got heavily into a lot of the other research I've done. But one of my biggest issues was candida and mold. I was so allergic to mold that if I walked into a place that was moldy, I would actually feel lightheaded. My throat would get constricted. I had very, very strenuous physical reactions to it. I would get sick to my stomach instantly. And I had a piece of toast once. I was just hungry. I wasn't feeling good. I was already not in a good place. I wasn't feeling good this one day. And I had a piece of toast, and the toast tasted funny to me, and I thought it was because my throat was already bothering me. And as I finished the toast, my throat erupted in all these water blisters. So I went to put the loaf of bread away, and I see the piece of bread facing me is covered with mold. And I started panicking because that's why the bread tasted awful, but I didn't look at the back side of it. So instantly I'm starting to react to the mold, and what I did is I took a glass, I dumped a whole bunch of garlic powder in it, and I dumped about a teaspoon and a half of cayenne pepper. I stirred it up and I drank it. I gargled with it first, and then I just drank it, and I made myself about a 6-ounce glass of this, and I swear to God, within 5 minutes of drinking that, all the blisters were gone, and I never had any – it didn't progress. Whatever was happening in my body, this killed off any mold that had gotten into my system, and it stopped it dead in its tracks, and I had no reaction to it. I mean, I don't suggest anybody do that, but I was so panic-stricken because of how highly allergic I am to mold, and I didn't know what it was going to do to my system, and that just stopped it right in its tracks.
Yeah, it's amazing. A lot of the spices that you have in your cupboard could actually help you in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and the main reason why natural products work, as we discussed a few minutes ago, is that when you use food as medicine, when you use something that's homeopathic or naturopathic, homeopathy and naturopathic remedies work in concert with our immune system. So they are working in cooperation with it. It's either vibrational medicine or nutritional medicine, which our immune system recognizes and will use for the intended purpose. When you're talking about pharmaceuticals do not work in concert with our immune system. They're masking a symptom. That's all that they're supposed to do. What a lot of people don't understand is that pharmaceuticals are not curative. They are strictly for symptom management. And since they're not going to the root cause of that symptom, you have a headache, they're numbing the headache. But they're not doing anything to correct why the headache is there. So if you really think about pharmaceuticals and taking pills, if people would really understand the premise behind that, it's pretty dangerous. Because if you have high blood pressure, if you have headaches, if you have insomnia, if you have localized pain, and yet you don't find out what the cause of these issues are, you just deaden the symptom, well, you've done nothing to correct the cause of it, so that means that situation is still there in your body. And that's why the body keeps breaking down, because you never corrected what was causing the headache. You never corrected what was causing the blood pressure issue. All you're doing is making the numbers appear to be normal, but the reason it doesn't hold is because you didn't correct what was making the blood pressure spike. So when you
perpetuating the problem.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when you do it through diet, when you do it through naturopathy or homeopathy or herb therapy, these type of things, you're correcting the problem. That's why once your blood pressure gets normal or the pain subsides, it's permanent because you've corrected what was causing it to begin with. And that's the major difference.
Well, absolutely. That's why all these things that I make work.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Well, and they're all real food. Like I said, the chemical part of our world, albeit amazing, and we certainly can do, you know, every time I get banging on the medical field, I make myself remember the woman who the monkey took her face off and they rebuilt for the babies that are born without sometimes organs. I personally was helped with the nursing of a child that was born without the lower part of his intestines hooking to his anus, and they did surgery on him before he ever left the hospital when he was like 2 days old, and today he's, you know, in his 30s and fine. So I don't want to ever make anybody think that I don't appreciate my grandson, my son. The medical field saved both their lives, hands down. But this other part of our world, this natural part of our world, we don't give it enough credence because it's right there for us. And we have a tendency to be looking for something bigger and better and more more scientific. When in actuality, the many things that our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers did way back in the day saved many lives as well. I do think the cleanliness that is available to us today, the availability of keeping germs at a better level, the understanding about mold and mildew, Shelley knows this, Monica doesn't, but the classes that I used to give at Hippocrates, everybody always gets panicked about mold, and I say, keep your house dry. That's all you have to do. Keep your house dry. You know, right. Don't open the window and leave the AC kicking.
Right.
You won't have mold. Don't put up wallpaper here in Florida. You won't have mold. You have to be able to dry spaces, otherwise it forms mold. But the biggest point that I love, funny story, Cecil, Monica, our Betty Jane's mother, when I was a kid, I always had tonsillitis. They took my tonsils out when I was 2, and then I would get infected in the scar tissue in my throat from having the tonsillectomy. And my glands would swell, and I would have all these maladies. Cecil would take mustard seed, cook it on the stove, boil it down into a paste, smear it on my baby sister's diapers, and wrap it around my neck. And it would pull the swelling out of my glands. And now I know that you can take that same kind of a mixture and get slivers out, pull boils out. Cecil knew all that. But she never had to do that for any of us. But that will do the same thing. And that's, I mean, you know, mustard seed is available anywhere. So there's a million different things. An old-fashioned vaporizer. People forget to use those. People forget to use humidifiers. There's so many different things that are so available to us without taking drugs, per se, drugs. But again, I don't want to take away from the medical arena because they save lives every day. But
well, the medical arena, when you're talking about emergency care, like I told you, I watched that show, The Untold Stories of the ER, which I think is a remarkable show because they have stories on there that are nothing short of miraculous. And what our current technology can do for people that have been in catastrophic injuries or that have illnesses that are just undiagnosed, and these doctors figure it out, you know, against all odds. That type of medicine, I have a lot of respect for. The type of medicine that I am not a proponent of is regular care for symptoms that are not life-threatening, such as headaches, normal symptoms, like you have localized pain, you have headaches, your blood pressure is spiking, you have a high cholesterol, you know, things that should be dealt with through natural means, through correcting your diet, through exercising, through trying Chinese medicine, herb therapy, things like that. You know, but everybody wants the quick fix. Nobody wants to take responsibility. That's one of the issues with this country. People don't want to have to change their lifestyle to get healthy. They would rather pop that pill than to maybe eat healthier or walk 20 minutes a day. And usually the things that correct our health are fairly easy to do. But again, people want that quick fix. That's why I gave the example about when I got injured by the dog and it took 2 days to get my pain under control. Most people wouldn't have waited that 48 hours, you know, but it took time for the lead-em to build up in my system. The doctor warned me about that in the beginning. He said, if you want to take a painkiller for a couple of days, he says, go ahead. I forgot which one he told me to take. But because I was researching this, I did something that probably most people wouldn't do. I just decided to take no painkillers at all, because I wanted to see how long it would take for the lead-em to build up in my system, and it did take two days. But once it did, it was working as effectively as a Tylenol with codeine, you know. But most people would not have waited that 2 days. And, you know, and that's one of the issues, is that it's not a quick fix. You don't pop a pill and 20 minutes later you've gotten the result you wanted. But when you do get the result, it's permanent.
Annika, do you have anything that you've worked on that would be for, like, boo-boos, anything like that? Is there something that you use, you know, like an abrasion?
It depends what the abrasion is. I've also made a plantain tincture for hives, bug bites, itches, ant bites. We have red ants up here. I know you have them down in Florida. And
yeah,
basically you go out and you find some plantain, not the banana plantain, the weed plantain, and you steep it in vinegar, apple cider vinegar. Spray it on your feet or wherever you have any kind of an itch, abrasion, anything like that, and it stops the pain immediately. It's a lot of these things that we're talking about is all on the internet. Another thing you were just alluding to or talking about is people want the quick fix, and it's amazing to me how many people are not getting on Google and doing the research that it takes to find these things. It's all on there, the recipes, everything that you can imagine that is wrong with you is on the computer. And if you do the research, you're going to find the cure, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of running to the doctor, because the doctors are just there to push a pill, and it, like you said, it doesn't help in the long run. You have to take another kind of pill because it's giving you problems, whatever.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that I see there being a really, really huge problem with, and that's the repetitiveness of taking these pills that act like a Band-Aid, because then that's when you move on to bigger and more, more dangerous things in a lot of cases. We're almost out of time, but I want to thank you. This, I think I would love to do this again, Monica. You are certainly welcome to call anytime, but I'd like a session with you to talk about some of these things. And I will get some questions together that people ask me, and maybe we can talk about that and move on and maybe help a lot of people, because, you know, there are a lot of people that are over the age of even 50 who've never even been on a computer. So even in our world.
That's true.
Yeah, they just, my husband, he was so excited to get a computer in here because he wanted to look up stuff when he fixes the cars and stuff. But it got to for him. you know, so he doesn't do it. So I use the computer a lot for a lot of the research I do for the show and for a lot of the things that I've done for other people. So I agree with you. I know that there are a lot of people who don't utilize that. But I loved your flu remedy, and ironically, we were at a dinner party, a raw dinner party recently, and they had made something very similar to it, and we talked about it being a good flea, a good flu.
Flu.
And
I got a flu
very
remedy, too.
So, everybody,
yeah, we're
going
to have to do a follow-up show.
Yeah, we will absolutely do a follow-up show, and Monica and I will talk in the next couple days and set up a date. So thank you, everybody. Everybody go out there and make it a great day. Florida is 48 degrees out here in the acreage, very cold for us. I hope everybody dressed warm before they left for work and school today. God bless. Have a great day. Thanks, girls.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rainey. Nice meeting you, Monica.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.